Happy New Year, everyone! Just so you know, you are not missing an episode. I have skipped 89 in the number lineup to account for the episode that was left off the original count. Thanks for listening. This is episode 90, recorded on January 4th, 2012. Packard Pokes at Night of the Comet.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokeset, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokeset. I am your immutable, unmutable, and the new year host. I am Packard Sonic. Joining us tonight from the far, far east coast is Joe Unseen.
Let's go, Voltron Force.
I have not thought about that cartoon in a long time. And joining us from the far east coast and just south is Crystal Says So from North Carolina.
Oh my god. I got it. Shit, you got it right. Yay, hey y'all.
I was practicing.
I am so proud.
Hey, you want to hear something else that's proud? I had to go to the dentist yesterday, and normally when I ever go to the dentist, my whole life I've gone to the dentist, I've needed gas. That yesterday was the first time without gas, so I was gasless.
I'm doing the show on gas tonight, so we'll be good.
That's how I do the show normally. You just can't see the mask. And then joining us also tonight from places always unknown is Todd, Wizard of Todd.
Greetings from the 45th parallel, where we think over here it's a good latitude.
Yes.
5440 or fight.
Oh, that's 9 degrees north.
Yes.
at 40 minutes, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, of course.
That was the part of Canada we let them have.
Yeah, we let them have that part. You can have that part of Canada. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Anyway. We got a lot of... What's that, Todd?
They're probably saying that's the part of the United States they let us have.
Oh, yeah, sure. There we go. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. All right, well, let's get going to our first story for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
A woman was having a stroke, and she just happened to be able to drag her laptop towards her and send her husband a message for a call for help on Facebook. Now, her husband, who does not use Facebook, he basically hates it. He was trying to get a hold of her all day. And so he figured, you know, I better check Facebook just in case. And she typed out the words that were saying that, help, faint, help, fainted, cannot get up, help, hurt head. And basically, but it was all kind of garbled. So he couldn't quite figure out, so he knew she wasn't kidding, so he had a friend get over there and called a neighbor who broke into the house and then called emergency services. Social media, everybody thinks social media is just for, you know, hey, let's post cats, you know, post cats and have arguments on, and this is just goes to show that social media is not just for that stuff, it is also for everyday life. And it's saving lives left and right. I've heard stories like this about on Twitter and now on Facebook. I'm just curious, what's going to be the next social thing? I mean, is someone going to say have a heart attack or something, and they're going to post it on Instagram? You know, here's my my heart attack picture. I don't know, of course, the opposite. There's people that have done really crazy things on Skype and whatnot, but those are few and far in between. But at least now we've got something that's keeping us so interconnected, we can get in touch with each other quicker. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, they can take an old-timey photo of the electric paddles on their chest while they're getting defibrillated. Be like, look what's happening to me now.
That's going to change all those pictures that the ladies use.
Say what?
Yeah, well, yeah, they don't just, yeah, when they do the paddles, they have to cut the bra off, don't they?
Do you not
I don't know, no. Do they? No, they don't? They were able to use the paddles with the bra on there? You know, I figured, you know, they would get, if they're getting shocked, with the
you don't take the time to do it, usually, just do it.
Oh, Okay. I didn't know. I always assumed that, I guess. But I'm glad I know that now.
I think they have to be mindful if there's an underwire, like not to touch the paddle to the underwire.
Yeah, that's
but other
what I'm
than that,
about.
I mean, you're trying to restart their heart. You don't take the time to like rip all their clothes off.
Oh, okay.
Shoot. Plus, I just have to show you how you position the paddles, really, because it's not like on TV.
Oh, yeah. Really? Isn't it like just above the chest here and just off to the side on one just to the left?
Kind of basically, because you're just trying to make that current go through paddle to paddle and. Mm-hmm. Cross through the heart, so it can kind of go anyway as long as you've got them lined up like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Joe's right. I mean, you do have to kind of avoid that. It can burn them, but you're not. I mean, you're not worried about that. You're just trying to start them.
Huh. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Joe, did you have anything else you want to add on that, Joe?
Well, I get trained for defibrillator paddles at work, and mm-hmm. we don't have any at our work site. And I actually asked one of the supervisors, you know, how can we train for these but don't have them? And he's like, because you guys will play with them.
Are you kidding me?
Well, he's right.
Hey, bring that hot dog over here. You want to see something? Watch this. Want to see a pickle glow? Yeah.
Oh, man. Those things cost thousands of dollars, and I would love to get my hands on one.
You could probably do the same thing with a couple pairs of wires, but, you know.
But I actually heard that the newer models actually have it so that, like, it knows if it's touching a human body or if you're just fucking around with it, so.
Oh, that's kind of nice. That's kind
of
nice, yeah.
They thought of people like me.
They saw you coming, Joe. They saw you coming.
Just on the warning label, do not use near children. Do not allow Joe unseen anywhere in here.
Someone mentioned something about a hot dog.
Yes.
What kind of dog are we talking about? I mean, you know, if you can detect it's a human, you know, there's only one hot dog left you're going to be frying, and you don't want that fried.
No.
Yeah, remember, I'm telling you, I'm sharing the gas with everybody tonight in case you get a tail.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, that was an interesting story, and I thought the same thing that you did. It's just a matter of this is kind of a wonderful medium, actually. And I was actually thinking more like how we're kind of getting more of the grandparents involved in the technology and getting them little computers or little netbooks and teaching them email and how to Skype back and forth with the grandkids and stuff. And I was just thinking what a wonderful thing to use for, like, elderly people. That's kind of was my train of thought with this. And thank goodness, I'm telling you, like, my texts look like that all the time. That's kind of was my train of thought with this. And thank goodness, I'm telling y'all, like, my texts look like that all the time. Y'all all know it because I text all of you guys. And my texts look like this all the time, and I'm not stroking.
Yeah.
So I'm glad her husband knew something was wrong and went ahead and called 911, and the neighbor broke in, and they got in there and got her some help, and she's okay.
Yeah, I read typo really well, so I would have just, like, oh, okay.
I mean, I thought that looked really good compared to mine.
I practice typo on a constant basis, so if you see my tweets and they kind of look cockeyed, that's why. Todd, your thoughts?
Yeah, finally, Facebook is good for something. What can I say?
Yeah.
Oh, did I say that out loud? Costello could actually make it into a movie because that's kind of what she does.
Yeah.
She likes scripts and so forth.
Yeah, I read that part, I thought, you know, if she's I'm wondering if this is just not a publicity stunt for something that she's actually doing, though.
She's a very pretty lady.
Yeah. She looks like she's just not a publicity stunt for something that she's actually doing, though.
She's a very pretty lady.
Yeah. She looks like she just came out of the 1950s, actually, I thought. But
I think she's gorgeous.
No, she's right looking, but
yeah, she does have like a very like 60s era look about her.
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah, so I was like, it could be the way the photograph was done too. So I really don't know.
Plus, she's only 40 years old. I don't know if we said that or not. But
yeah, she's only 40. She's
worked for the BBC. I wonder if she ever wrote any Doctor Who.
I don't know. That's kind of interesting. That'd be kind of interesting to find out. For our next story here. 2013 could be the best year for comet spotting. If you've ever gone outside. And you have to go outside eventually because, you know, it's outside. You have to go outside for provisions, whatever. But anyway, in 2013, we're supposed to have some really good comet viewing. And I am so glad that the world did not end with the Mayans calendar. Not that I had any doubts to begin with. Now the show is really going to start showing up. There's a comet that's on its way. It's going to be here in the fall. It is nearest in December in 2013, in December here, I just said. It's called Comet Ison's Path.
Comet Ison.
Is that the same comet? Okay. Comet Ison will pass by in December 2013. And it's going to be so close that it's going to be really bright. Really, really bright. It's going to give the moon a run for its money, if the moon had money. But but it's going to be even brighter than the moon.
Dollars.
What's that, Todd?
Nothing. Just didn't quote Dr. Evil. Sorry.
Okay. $1 million. But it's supposedly this comet broke loose from a supercloud or something. It was near, not far from here, I guess. And it's heading this way. I think this is really kind of really neat that my kids are going to be able to see this kind of stuff in the night sky as teenagers, and my daughter, oldest daughter, who's now technically an adult, and be able to witness this phenomenon. This is so great. I'm just kind of wondering, and I'm waiting for all the nutballs to come rolling out of the sky, out of the cracks and crevices, and go, "Oh, the comet's gonna hit the Earth! Oh my God!" And start a panic and everything, just like, you know, camping did. You know, these people, they're out there, and this is what they're gonna say. I can almost guarantee it, because we've look what happened with the Mayan calendar, and that was nothing. There's gonna be some nutballs out there, guaranteed. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it would certainly be cool if both comets predicted in 2013 are bright and visible. I thought this comet Ison was a sure deal, but according to this article, they just don't know. It's a new comet. It probably broke free from the Oort cloud and it's heading for the sun.
That's it right there.
So there's a chance it could fizzle out before it gets to us.
Uh-huh.
It could like just evaporate all its water before it becomes visible.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't, if it actually develops a good solid tail, they're thinking that maybe as it passes Mars, they can have the rovers look up at it.
That would be kind of cool.
And see the comet from Mars. And I think that would be really cool. And this year, this isn't the only comet they're expecting next year. There's also Pan-STARR, which should be coming in March.
Yeah. Pan-STARR will be here before the other one will. So it's like, mm-hmm.
One in March and one in December.
Yeah, I hope we have like another Hale-Bopp color type comet. We're in the night sky.
That was beautiful.
Oh, that was gorgeous. It's just something, the universe is, I don't understand why people believe in a God when they can look out at the universe and see the marvels that are out in there and think that, you know, God is the all end all be all. Just look out in the night sky. That is the end all be all. Really, it is. Crystal, your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
Well, real quick before Crystal, the sun and the moon were our first gods. They were mom and dad.
Yes, they were. No, you're right.
They were looking at the sky when they came up with that idea.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. That's very true. That's very true. All right, Crystal, I'm sorry. Crystal, your thoughts?
I would love to see if the rover can get a shot of that going by. That would just be some really awesome things. I'm fascinated with the stars and with comets and stuff like that. For it to be a visible one at daytime, that would be God, that would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So it is exciting, like you said, to think that your kids can see that, since it hasn't been here. What did it say? It was 1680, I believe, that the last comet that took a similar path.
Yep.
That's just exciting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Dean in the chat room said not to forget meteor showers. You know, the only thing is, every time I've gone out for a meteor shower, I keep forgetting my soap. You know, it's.
No. Just no.
I can never find the hot and cold running meteor showers. You know, I just they're hard to adjust. Todd, your thoughts?
Oh, first of all, you're feeling very punny tonight. Very funny indeed. you mentioned before, if you excuse me for a second, you mentioned before about how the religious might be saying, making some overtones with these comets.
Yeah.
That is a distinct possibility, and here's why. First of all, comets have always been considered to be harbingers of doom during history.
Yes, they have.
Like, for instance, before the Battle of Hastings, there was a comet, and I think it was Comet Halley. And of course, the Saxons thought it foretold of the doom of with Harold.
Yep. There's been a lot of battles when they saw a comet, they thought it was a bad omen. So the battles either stopped or they, and the other opposite, they, I guess they thought not a bad omen. They thought, oh, the gods are smiling on us. So they sent this big bright light in the sky. So we'd be able to attack or some bullshit, you know, whatever.
Oh, sure. Another thing, and this is kind of clinch for this round. You'll notice that Comet Pan-STARR is visible in March and April.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's going to be during Easter. And, of course, in December, it's going to be around Christmas time.
Right.
So, you know, with some people like camping, any excuse to go ahead and make a connection to a religious is going to be grabbed on like you wouldn't believe.
You know, yeah.
I would almost count on having some more doomsday prophecies being made in the very near future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you said Easter, it's coming around Easter, it's like, oh, fuck, that's right. The other one's coming during December. Yeah, I saw, like, then the little light bulb went above my head. I don't know if you saw it or not, but, you know, the little light bulb went right above my head. And I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, that's there. Oh, yeah, guaranteed the religious right nut jobs are going to come out. See, the comet is coming. It's Jesus. He's returning. This is the sign that Jesus is returning. And it's like, oh, criminy. Please, shut up. But yeah, no, you got that right. You definitely have that right. All right, let's get into our next topic. We have some movie reviews for you tonight. We are normally have just one, but tonight we have, since it's the new year, we're going to do two movie reviews. First off, we got Joe coming in for our first movie review. Joe, what was the name of the movie that you reviewed, and tell us a little bit about it.
I saw the movie John Dies at the End.
Which
doesn't come out in theaters until later this month, so thanks to some Hollywood connections of Packard's, I got to see it way ahead of time. It's an advanced viewing. But yeah, the movie is a cheesy sci-fi film based on a horror comedy novel of the same name by a guy named David Wong.
Uh-huh.
The movie kicks off with this really funny scene involving the decapitation of a neo-Nazi, the killing of an interdimensional space worm, and a philosophical question about a hand axe.
Oh, jeez.
I thought it was a great opening.
And, yes, it sounds good.
It stars Chase Williamson as Dave and Rob Mays as John, mm-hmm. and the two of them take a new black oily drug called the sauce.
Nice.
And the sauce is like, it's almost like alive. It like moves and like little spikes and hairs come out of it. And when they take it, it gives them the powers to know about people and things around them, and it also gives them the ability to see trans-dimensional beings and creatures.
Nice.
Like all sorts of nasty stuff, like spiders and worms and things.
Nice.
Yeah, the film kind of reminded me a little of Naked Lunch meets A Scanner Darkly.
I've never seen that movie.
Well, Naked Lunch is a movie where the people keep taking this bug powder and hallucinating. And Scanner Darkly is also a drug movie that's a kind of rotoscoped animation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this drug that bugs them out and makes them see insects everywhere.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, this movie, John Dies at the End, isn't as cool as either of those movies. But it had like elements from them both, I felt. The movie also features Paul Giamatti,
mm-hmm.
who's one of my favorite actors. And he's not only in the film, but he also is the executive producer, which kind of surprised me. I didn't realize that until the end. I'm like, oh,
that's
he wasn't just involved in this. He was involved in this.
Nice.
The movie was directed by Don Casarelli,
mm-hmm.
and he's best known for making all the Phantasm movies, and he made 1982's The Beastmaster.
Oh, yeah.
And he made a fun Bruce Campbell movie a few years back called Bubba Hotep, which is about a mental institution where a bunch of people think they're Elvis. that movie's actually worth a watch if you like Bruce Campbell.
Oh, I do like Bruce Campbell. Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, I can't imagine having a whole building full of people who think they're Elvis. I mean, is that just the peanut butter and banana sandwich budget?
They're all wearing the glasses and stuff. They're walking around talking like Elvis, like, what's up, man?
I need a peanut butter and dinner sandwich.
I have a question about Bruce Campbell and Bubba Hotep. I know this is off topic, off task, but is there any time in that movie as the king that Bruce Campbell said, "Hail to the King, baby"?
Would be epic. I don't remember. It's been a few years since I saw it.
Yeah, he actually said that one in Army of Darkness.
Oh, I know, course. But it'd be very appropriate since he was playing the king in Bubba Hotep.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't seen it, so I really couldn't tell you. But I know
if I was Don Casarelli making Bubba Hotep, I would have totally taken advantage of that. and I would have followed Bruce Campbell around like a little dog and been like, do you need anything, Bruce? Can I get you something, Bruce? I know I'm directing the film, Bruce, but you're Bruce Campbell.
Campbell is epic. He is a damn good actor. I really like his stuff. I've seen him in Army of Darkness, and I know he's in a few other ones, but that was the one that always makes the impression on me is that one movie, because it's like a horror, but it's a comedy, mm-hmm. but it's not gory. It's a good picture. If there's any movies you want to go see that horror-ish but not terribly horror-ish, that would be the movie to see. But we're doing this one right here. So
sorry,
that's okay.
Good distraction. Good distraction.
Yes,
we got to talk about the Bruce.
Yes. Did you have anything? Did anybody else have any questions on that? Or before we get on to the next review,
is it better than Cats?
You know, John Dies at the End is 1,000 times better than Cats.
Really.
It's so much better than Cats.
Is that a movie, or are you talking the Broadway play?
The Broadway play, yeah.
Oh, okay.
HBO actually released, they just recorded the Broadway show and released it, mm-hmm. and I watched it one time, and I'm like, oh, what's all the hype about Cats? And, like, when I got to the end of it, I was like, that's it? That's it? Like, there's not even a story!
Yeah, they actually came to Wausau. I actually had to make a delivery out to our theater out there, because one of their lights setups got screwed up, and they
you
had
showed
to
up
have
with 50 pounds of fur. You're like, I got the fur.
baby.
You realize that Cats is just based on T.S. Eliot poems?
I did not
really?
Know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yep. That's interesting.
That's kind of what it is. That was the point. I'm just saying.
Oh, well, that's damn interesting. All right, well, for our next movie review is from Crystal. And Crystal, what is your movie review of The Hobbit?
Grr. Okay. Let me just preface this by saying, like, Joe does so well on movie reviews, and, like, mine I actually kind of, like, wrote down because I am not a Lord of the Rings fan follower. Mm-hmm. I've never seen any of the movies. I didn't know anything of the story. So I think that it was a little bit hard for me to stay with this film. If you're a fan of that, I'm sure this is going to be like your wet dream, because it is a really nicely made film. The graphics in it are just awesome. It was really, really good, the graphics in it. Apparently, the way it's made with a 48 frame per second format,
mm-hmm.
which is double what is normally the filmmakers use, and I think it makes kind of an odd thing. I think he's trying to make what the one dude did in the Avatar films and be a groundbreaker, mm-hmm. and to me it kind of looked like it made everything in the movie that was false, it looked faker that way. I don't know, like, you noticed the beards looked like they were fake, and there were glued on noses and glued on hair. I don't know, it's maybe it was just me. I found it a little bit distracting. However, the film itself is taken back with Bilbo, who is the main character.
Bilbo Baggins.
Yes, going back 60 years and telling some of the story that has really happened to Frodo, and
hearing Crystal say Frodo.
Basically, they're just going back. The people have had their land taken away from them, their mountain taken away from them, and the little dwarf people are going back to reclaim their mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And Bilbo is one that has been chosen by the great wizard Gandalf, who Ian McKellen, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was my saving grace in this film, and probably the only thing. Well, no, not him. That other hot guy that's in there, Richard Armitage. Oh my God, he played that Thorin Oakenshield, who is the leader of the little dwarf people,
oh.
And it just tells of their adventures going through to reclaim their land and fighting their little evil people that along the way. Hmm. The scenery was really beautiful. It's got a really nice full musical score to it. I don't want to give it away. I know so many people want to see this film, and everybody's been really interested in whether...
You know, I know what happens. John dies at the end.
Well, I mean, I know if you've read the books that you know what all the deal is, but you know, for it to be something that's totally against, I would not have even watched the whole thing, and I really did. I watched all 3 hours of it, and I actually did enjoy it. It wasn't bad at all.
You know, the only Hobbit movie that I've seen, I have not had a chance to see this myself yet. I just don't have the time. Is the only one I've seen is the cartoon version, and then all the cartoon versions of it that came out after it were kind of sucked. I've heard from other sources on this that the Lord of the Rings versions were nothing in comparison to this. This one is the story. This is the whole story. So if you saw the rest of the trilogy and then come back to this, this is the one you want to see.
Right, and I think that's part and parcel about why, if you know the stories, you know the characters, then you're going to be fine watching this movie. I think that the filmmaker did try really hard to introduce each character, which got a little bit redundant. It was a little bit hard to sit there and kind of get introduced to this overwhelming cast of characters and you not know the backstory to it. But I mean, as the film went along, it really did kind of explain itself as it went. And you get introduced to how he got introduced to Gollum and a little bit about the ring. And I don't want to give any more away, because if I go any further, I'm going to be telling you the rest of it. And, okay, so I have to give this a 3 out of 5 halos.
3 out of 5 halos.
Nice.
I'm going to tell you the funniest thing that I found in this movie, though, is that the guy turns around and refers to his mother's cedar chest as his mother's glory box. I thought that was awesome.
It's mom's glory box. Yeah,
that's my glory box right there. But it really was. I mean, it's really interesting to see. Really, the graphics in that was really awesome.
It's a different culture. That's for sure.
It kind of pulls you into the movie a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the original, you know, if they had made this movie before they made the rest of them, I think the other ones would have been made a whole lot different and probably would have sat in a little bit better. So, and at least that's it, in my opinion. I haven't seen all of them in their full yet, so, but I've yet to sit down and watch this. But, I've still got the mindset in my head of the cartoon version. So to sit down and watch a 3-hour version is going to be a bit for me to watch. So.
Well, it's kind of interesting to see people just to kind of like go back and read the reviews, and either people thought it was wonderful or they thought it was terrible.
Yeah,
there was no middle ground. I could not find one that just went, yeah, oh, that's okay. It was either we hate it or we love it.
Yeah, well, I think you can generally say that about any movie, really, but. This one I'm reserving judgment until whatever. By the way, Joe, what was your star rating on that show, or the movie rather, on John Dies, out of 1 out of 5?
I go with the traditional movie ratings where it's like 1 is below average, 2 is average, 3 is above average, and 4 is outstanding.
Right.
You know, like Gone with the Wind is 4. I'd hate to give the movie 3, but it was definitely above average because it was unusual and it was original. So I'd say 2.5.
2.5? Okay. Oh, so you're gonna go by the 4-star rating? All right, that's fine. Yeah. We can do 4.
Because he can't do the halo rating.
Right. I don't believe in halos.
Well, I don't believe in your damn star.
Oh, yeah? Go outside and look up.
Stop! Come out here and bite me. I'll pull your toes off.
Boy, you had to have been here for the
violence, Lord.
You had to have been here for the pre-show to understand what that means.
You're the only person with permission to pull my toes off.
Thank God. I'm having to like fan myself here a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, let's. Oh my. Well, all right, we got a good rating on both there. All right. Let's get into our next topic.
Give me the news. Texas judge okayed a ban on Planned Parenthood funding.
Texas, I gotta say this. I am so tired of Texas with their bullshit. First, they want to secede, and now they've decided to cut off Planned Parenthood. You know what? I'm done with Texas. Texas, you're fired. You need to leave now. You're fired. You put your key out the door. You're turning your tall pass. You're fired. You're not in the United States anymore. I wish I was only kidding about that. I want to fire Texas. I really do. To turn off access to Planned Parenthood clinics, a lot of people who cannot afford to get health screenings, cancer screenings, things like that, breast exams, they need to have access to this because there's people down there that have low income. And Texas has one of the worst states because they have the right to work laws down there, and they're basically sucking the country dry with funding just to pay back toward them. Actually, I think Louisiana is worse than Texas, actually, but it's still fucking ridiculous. People, you know, I'm tired of people trying to defund Planned Parenthood because they're afraid of people getting abortions. You know what? If you don't like abortions, don't fucking have one. Don't tell other people what they can do with their bodies, okay? If they want to have, if a woman wants to have an abortion, that's fine. It's none of your goddamn business. If a person just wants to go in and get a health exam, let them have a health exam. You know, in the long run, this helps everybody, not just the person that's getting helped, because these women have children, and if they don't have children, they may have children someday, or they're taking care of children, or they're interacting with somebody. They have a job. They have people that rely on them. And if they are kept from work because they're sick, then everybody in the long run suffers. You're not helping anybody, Texas. Fuck you, Texas. Fuck you in the ass. That's two. two double fingers for me tonight. Joe, your thoughts.
All this talk of Texas going purple, then they pull this nonsense. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Texas and Planned Parenthood on the show before, and time again, it's religious lawmakers trying to legislate their beliefs on other people. And to be against a woman's right to choose, or now, what this court ruling is going to do, like you mentioned, this court ruling is against women getting cancer screenings and contraceptives.
Yes.
So this is just anti-woman. This is being against women. These lawmakers and judges are against women, and that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
They tap their holy book and they say they're doing God's work, and that's where I actually agree with them, because if you read the Bible, the God of the Bible is against women too.
Yes, he is. He's a misogynistic prick is what he is. Do you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
You had me watch that episode of Red Dwarf, and they actually commented that in the Bible, oxes have more rights than women.
Yeah, they do. As a matter of fact, yeah, that's true. That's in the Bible, too. That cattle have more rights than women do. So this is in their mentality. Men, farm animals, farm implements, women at the bottom. You know, and it really sucks. It really fucking sucks. And if you're a woman out there, and you're voting Republican, you are fighting your own gender, and you're a disgrace to your gender. Seriously, you are. And you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You should not be allowed to vote, because you obviously don't have a clue. You really don't have a clue.
Shall we add a comment from Dawkins Dog in the chat room?
Yeah, go ahead.
Texas, no, you may not prevent pregnancies, but if your kid commits a bad enough crime, we'll murder it for you.
There you go. That's about it, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly it, too. They are the murder capital of the world. I mean, as far as killing...
The death penalty.
Yeah.
Capital of the world.
Death penalty capital.
I think they're up there with Saudi Arabia. It's like Texas and Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
And it's usually for, like, the same kind of crimes. Well, no, that's not true. In Saudi Arabia, if you, like, you know, if you're a woman and you sleep with somebody else,
then you're stoned to death.
You cheat on your husband, they decapitate you or something.
Yeah, or they stone you to death and bury up to your chest, to this about right to here. You know, just above the shoulders. Don't want you to die too quickly. And then they take big stones and they stone them to death. And that's biblical too. It really is. Crystal, your thoughts?
Well, without getting into the biblical aspect of it, because I just feel sorry for people that live in Texas. Mm-hmm. For one thing, this thing just infuriates me. I couldn't even see straight to read through these articles to kind of research this to take away a woman's right to choose which doctor she goes to, mm-hmm. who her health care provider is wrong. period.
Yep.
I don't care if you label it religious. I don't care if you label it anything. I should be able to choose what doctors I'm going to. Like you said, it's taking away everything that's good, that is going to prevent deaths. This is a direct attack on women.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be next? Are you going to aim for the kids too? I mean, yeah. What's going to be coming along the line? They provide 110,000 indigent women care a year, just with Planned Parenthood. Where are these women going to go to in the private sector of doctors? Because these primary care doctors will only accept a very limited number
yep.
of state-funded patients.
Yeah.
They have the right to not accept them because they know how little the state's going to repay them. So these mm-hmm. women are going to go without care.
Oh, yeah. Their death rates, as far as health rates, are going to plummet.
Absolutely.
And they don't care. It's like, oh, but we're the richest state in the country. We got the oil. Yeah, well, you know what? Why don't you just cover yourself, shove that oil up your ass and give these women their rights? Because I'm just wondering what's next. If they're going to start taking away your rights, what's they going to do next? Start putting women in concentration camps just to make sure we know where you are? Or are they going to start tagging you just like cattle?
I don't know. Rick Perry needs to get a vagina or something. I don't know.
That should be a bumper sticker. Rick Perry needs a vagina.
Rick Perry is a vagina.
If he was a vagina, we wouldn't have so much trouble with him.
Yeah, no shit, yeah. What was that, Todd?
I just wanted to say, why would you want me to hate vaginas? No, I mean, that's just wrong.
Todd is pro-vagina.
I am pro-vagina, too. Really, I am.
I want to touch on something Crystal said, which she said when she was reading the article, she felt bad for people that live down in Texas. Mm-hmm. I felt the same exact way. I was like, wow, I'm so glad I live in a state that's not so in the laws backward to go and like target Planned Parenthood, something that is an essential service to the community. You know, it's yeah. just crazy.
It is. It really is. You know, it just every time I see Texas coming up with some other new law or whatever, I just go facepalm. It just terrible.
And thank goodness Planned Parenthood is still fighting. So they've got another case yes. in January with a different judge, and they'll file yeah. another injunction. Hopefully this judge has got a clue.
Yeah. I think that the judge that said, you know, oh, Planned Parenthood, you're not getting your funding. I hope he gets voted. Because at least last time I checked, judges do get voted on as well. And if they can vote him out, get his ass out from behind the bench. He cannot make proper decisions. And I think he's just pandering to the right as well.
Gary Harger. Judge yep. Gary Harger.
It's yeah. a dude.
Yeah. Of course it's a dude.
Of course it is.
He's compensating for his even tiny penis.
You know, in defense of Texas, it is legal down there to drive around in your pickup truck with a loaded gun and an open can of beer.
Or what? Oh, that sounds like fun. Wow.
It is fun. I wish I lived. No, I don't. I'm just kidding.
Todd, your thoughts?
Speaking of what Joe is saying, it's probably legal down there to have sex with family members as well, but that's yeah. a different story. honestly, if Mexico wants them back, they can have them. I just want to go briefly.
Except Austin. We can keep Austin.
Yeah. Anyway, the judge, this is a paraphrase from the article. And it says that Texas may exclude otherwise qualified doctors and clinics from receiving state funding if they advocate for abortion rights. Okay, that's well and good. When are they going to start taxing churches for advocating against abortion rights?
Yes.
I mean, I think fair is fair, right?
Yes, I agree. You know, we should start taxing the churches. They are a billion-dollar industry, and you know, with just the taxes alone from that, we could dig ourselves right out of the deficit. Just from the churches alone.
No kidding.
It's just fucking ridiculous. Churches need, and so many of them engage in politics as it is. So you know, those churches, they're not supposed to, but if they're doing it, you want it. If you want to, as George Collins said, if you want to have a say in it, you pay your price of admission just like everybody else. So anyway. Let's get into our next story here. Now, I've done a lot of things naked, you know, shower, had children.
Look for meteorites.
Look for meteorites, yeah. Had my shower with the meteorites. But there's one thing I've not done is gone out with a sword and start waving around. Apparently a man was arrested because there was calls to his house because there was calls for someone had a gun. So they went over there, and he hopped into his car, and they got him to pull over finally, or they stopped him in some way, and he jumps out of the car. He's completely in the buff, and he's waving a samurai sword around. There's an old saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Apparently, you know, he was intoxicated, whatever, but they did find an AK-47 at the an AR-15 type assault rifle was recovered from his house. His name is Coco Bennett. Coco, really? I think that maybe it should be Cuckoo. Cuckoo Bennett. He's age 29, but he was taken finally without incident. It's just, you know, there is some strange ass people out there. You know, a sword, really? You know, there was this video, if you get a chance to see it. There's a guy, he's got his back up against the wall. He's waving a samurai sword. He's not naked, but he's waving a samurai sword. They try taking him down with a hose, and they can't get the guy, or at least try to knock the sword out of his hand. They knocked the guy's hand out.
A video of this guy?
No. That's somebody else completely. I said you have to find the video. I don't have a link to that one. But people with samurai swords, you're not fucking samurai. This is... Holding a samurai sword does not make you a samurai. Just like holding a deli knife doesn't make you a deli maker. You know, it's the same fucking thing. Joe, your thoughts?
When the man finally catches up to me and takes me down, this is how I want it to be. Naked, screaming in the street, swinging a samurai sword. Hopefully by then I will have learned enough Japanese, so my final words will be, come eat my sausage, coppers. And then they take me out in gunfire. And you know, it's how I dreamed it would all end since I was a wee boy. Yeah, no.
I can just see it. Packard sent me to do this. In the name of Packard Pokemon, I condemn you with my sword.
No. Where are the news cameras? Packard Sonic made me do this!
There's the media attention I don't need. Do you have anything else you want to add on that, Joe?
I mean, the article mentions no motivation, so we can only assume that this guy was mentally upset or on something.
Yeah.
I think it's really great that the police were able to talk him down without killing him.
Yeah.
I've seen police videos where, like, there was a homeless guy who had a knife duct taped to his hand because he didn't have a thumb.
Oh.
And the police were like, put the knife down, and he couldn't physically put the knife down, and they just shot him.
Oh, jeez.
And so, you know, this guy's screaming in the street, waving a sword around naked, and these cops, like, had to make a decision, and they chose not to kill him. They were able to bring in some crisis intervention people, and they talked him down. They got him to give up the sword. And as you mentioned, the scary shit is he had an AR-15 assault weapon in his car.
Mm-hmm.
So this story could have completely ended differently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It very well could have. I'm just glad that, you know, no one was killed. I mean, there's just too often. It's just way too often the cops are going, fuck it, let's just shoot the fucker and be done with it, you know?
Yeah.
They're not...
Well, now they have, like, tasers and pepper spray and stuff.
Yeah, even
like,
though... Know, yeah,
it's horrible when they use that stuff, but it's better than shooting someone, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, no, absolutely. But I'm saying is, even though with the tasers and the pepper spray and whatnot, there's still police officers out there. Their first response is, go for the gun, not the stun gun or the pepper spray gun.
That's what some people don't realize. If you attack a police officer, even without a weapon, they have the right to just pull out their gun and shoot you.
No, you're right. They do.
You're not supposed to hit them.
Oh, is that what it
all,
is?
At all, ever.
Is that what it is? Like, oh, is that the rule? I thought, you know.
Well, the way they see it is, if you're attacking me with your hands,
mm-hmm.
you could potentially grab my gun, overpower me, take my gun, and shoot me. So they're going to defend themselves with their gun. They're going to, you know, if you come at a cop, they're just going to shoot you. So don't do that.
Yeah.
Mental note, don't do it.
Mental note. Wait a minute, let me write that down.
Do not
go towards
that's a good
cop.
Safety tip, Joe. Don't attack the cops.
Safety.
Put it on the back of your hand.
Yeah, safety. Special safety tip for everybody out there. Do not go run it towards police, even with bare hands, because they will shoot you. Okay, all right. Yes. I got it written
and
down.
Don't cross the streams.
And don't cross the streams, right.
Yep. D in the chat room said, swing that samurai. He's about to lose something near and dear to him.
Yeah, no kidding. That's like what Johnny Carson said one time as a green grocer. He said, never, ever peel carrots in the nude, and I think it applies to the story as well.
I can just imagine if he swung it just a little too low.
We now have another safety tip.
Yeah. Safety tip number two, do not swing samurai sword while naked. Okay,
don't peel carrots in the nude.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Three safety tips.
Three safety tips. We have three, count them, one, two, three safety tips.
the back of my hand is getting crowded.
Todd, your thoughts.
Me?
Yes.
We skipped Crystal.
Oh,
Crystal, I'm sorry. Crystal, your thoughts. I'm sorry. Everybody started talking. I forgot.
We need more women around here.
Yeah, we need more women around here. Definitely. I'm with you on that, Chris. We need more women.
Okay. In the corner.
This guy should be, like, really proud because most naked men,
yes,
do not have a samurai sword, maybe like a nail file.
This is my samurai sword right there. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, like, seriously, this really did sound like a case of maybe a suicide by cop. That's what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
If he's jumping out of the car saying, you're going to have to kill me.
Yes,
that maybe this
that.
Really is just a really mentally disturbed man. And I'm glad that hopefully he'll get some help and that nobody was hurt.
Yeah.
What's supposed to say about that? It's sad. Situation,
yes,
that people are in that kind of a mental state, and thankfully nobody was hurt.
Yeah, you know, I thought I saw it here that maybe they said he was had been intoxicated, possibly. You know, this just reminds me. There's like they always say, there's stories out there. People say, "Well, we need more guns." Well, if this is alcohol, well, we know what we need. We need more alcohol. That'll be the solution. We need more alcohol. So
we need more swords.
We need more swords, right? We need to take. Let's take away all the guns. Get everybody swords. No more.
We need less clothing.
And that's there we go. All right. I'm running room out of my hand here. More clothing, less clothing, more swords. There we go. So
less talk, more action. This needs to be legislated.
Yes. Absolutely. Do you have anything else you want to add on that, Crystal?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Todd, your thoughts.
Is it wrong that I fapped twice after reading this article?
Nah, I was fapping during the article.
Oh my lord.
Go ahead, Todd.
In all seriousness though, I'm glad that he's getting the help that he needs, and
yes.
Well, I tell you what, he's gonna have one to tell the grandkids, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And then there was this one time.
There was this one time where I was kind of drunk and I was out swinging my sword and the cops came and, yeah. There's some stories I think, you know, should never be told. This be one of them. Did you have anything else you want to add on that, Todd?
No, I think that's about it.
Okay, very good. All right, well, let's get into our next topic. Now there's a lot of weirdos out in our great republic, Democratic Republic, and a lot of those weirdos are in office. Indiana, for example, the state senator, files another bill. He's filed this bill not once. This is not the first time he's done this. He filed a bill requiring public schools to recite the Lord's Prayer in school, public schools. This is fucking absurd. It's unconstitutional. He's just pandering to his the right wing base and the Christian base, who think that, you know, we need religion in school. If you want to pray in school to yourself, hey, have at it, Hoss. That's all you, you know. But we do not need teachers leading prayer in any way, shape, or form in a public school. You know, personally, I would wish that people like this that push religion in school, public schools, they need to be fired. They need to the first time they do it, they put their bill out. They say, "Oh, well, you want religion in school? You're fired. You're automatically terminated. There's no vote. You're just fucking gone." And this would start by doing this. We would start a chain. It would start a chain reaction that these legislators would stop pushing their fucking religion in school. If you know, the thing is though, if somebody wanted to say, okay, let's say a legislator came along and said, we want to put whatever Muslim prayer in school, in our schools. Do you think they would go, oh, no? Or do you think, oh, yeah, let's do that. let's do that. Yeah, we want Muslim prayer in school. No, they would say, oh, it's our Christian school. There's the United States, a Christian nation. We need to bring Christianity into schools. Guaranteed. That's exactly what would happen. But they don't understand, obviously, the First Amendment to our Constitution. Separation of church and state. Separate. Period. Never, ever do the two come together in a public school or in a state setting. Period. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I got into a conversation about school prayer with a coworker recently, and it seems to be talked about a lot since the school shooting, as if prayer can stop bullets.
Yeah.
But my coworker mistakenly believed that praying at school was outlawed to discriminate against Christians. Oh, and geez. I corrected him and told him that prayers led by a school officials, or at school events is unconstitutional. But if an individual student or even a small group of students chose to pray on their own, that was still perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shocked. He was blown away. And this guy in Indiana, the state senator from Indiana,
yes,
he's proposed bills like this before.
Yep.
He even proposed that creationism be taught in science class.
Mm-hmm.
And his colleagues in the Indiana State Senate take his bills, they look them over, and they toss them into the Senate's Rules and Legislative Procedure Committee, which is where bills go to die. Because they know right away, like, all right, this doesn't have constitutional muster. The Supreme Court has already ruled on this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just this guy pandering to his religious fan base.
Yeah, this is Dennis Kruse, K-R-U-S-E. He's a Republican, obviously. So just so you're aware of, if you're out in Indiana and you're listening to this show, that this nutball is in your state, and he is trying to get your state fucked over. So go over to his house, go over to the state capitol, go over to wherever, and tell him exactly what you think. So, and he looks like a total douchebag. He really does. It looks like he woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and he stayed there. So
I don't think you have to go to his house, but you should definitely write him a letter.
Yeah, definitely write him a letter. Yeah, sure, write him a letter. Write a letter that's going to his house, go to his state senate, or whoever's in his district or wherever. So definitely tell this fucker that he's dead wrong, he should need to stop, or he's fired. Either way, I am tired of these people. They're in their fucking bullshit pushing their religion into our government. This is not a Christian nation, people. Stop it. Joe, did you have anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay, very good. Crystal, your thoughts?
I think the scariest thing is he's the chairman of the Senate Education Committee.
Yeah. That's scary. You know,
again, this is not a topic that I have trouble discussing or listening to any of this about. Uh-huh. I do not want my children being taught in school anything else either. We've said this, and I know I've said it 100 times. So I have no problem with them keeping prayer, the Lord's Prayer, whatever, out of schools. It doesn't need to be there. If you want to do that on your own, exactly like you said, children are so, they tried to even include that into the bill about saying, okay, you can opt out of it. You know, if the student doesn't feel comfortable or whatever, they can opt out.
Right.
But, you know, kids are not going to do that. That's not fair to make them feel that pressure if that's not their belief system.
Right.
And I would not want my children to be reciting Muslim prayers or Satanistic things. I mean, I just have to think of it that way.
Oh, holy Satan and full of grace and bring me poppies and some devil cake, you know, or whatever. I don't know what they say. This, come to the dark side. We have cookies.
If prayer produced cake, I would start praying.
Yes. But they don't understand that. You know, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's do this for shits and giggles. If they let the Lord's Prayer in there, fine. You know what? Let's do that. Then you know what? We bring in all the other ones. We'll bring in every other religion. And they have to sit there and listen to every other religion as well. Do you think that would last? How long do you think that would last? A couple days? Week, maybe? It wouldn't last very long.
It never happened in school.
What's that, Todd?
I don't think they'd have time to learn anything in school.
Yeah, they'd be sitting there all day just listening to the prayers all day. And then by the time they get done with it, what'd you learn in school today? Vishnu is God. Oh, my God! We can't have you learning this stuff! It would end it right there. And it just, these people, they don't understand. You're going to let one in, you better let them all in. Either you let them all in or you're none of them in. And personally, none is better than all, or even one. Again, this is not a Christian nation, but Crystal, you got it right. You know, I know that you're a Christian, and you're standing up for good reason on this, and that you don't want people teaching your kids shit they don't want to learn, or you don't want them to know or to learn, basically.
Exactly. They go to school to be taught the things they need to know in life: math, right. Reading. Stuff like that. Let me choose how I'm going to raise my child religiously or right. not religiously, whatever. Right. That's not the school's priority. It shouldn't be.
Right.
And he is just an idiot, and you can tell his colleagues think he's an idiot. So
yeah. At one time,
just saying the national anthem every day with the words "Under God" right now is such a challenge. I can't imagine them even trying the Lord's Prayer, which is, you know, wordy and a little detailed there. So
yeah. Yeah. What if they just put in there and said the Lord's Prayer? How about they talk about how people get smited and killed, you know, the more graphic part details of the Bible instead, you know? Would you think they'd tell them that? Oh, no. We got to let them know that God is all good. So it's just fucking bullshit. It really is. Todd, your thoughts?
You know, I always had bad feelings about Indiana, and I don't know, last time I was through Indiana, it was just like when I was, you know, we got back to the Chicagoland area and we're getting out, man, I was loving leaving it, I'll tell you. And stuff like that's why. Anyway, however, a good thing about Indiana, and I do want to point this out, is let's all give a big round of applause to the President Pro Temp of the Senate, Mr. David Long,
mm-hmm.
or he is the guy who went ahead and reassigned Mr. Cruz's bills into the Rules and Legislative Procedure Committee. That's definitely doing the rest of Indiana a favor.
Definitely.
This is about as idiotic of a request for legislation as I've ever seen. Surely the state of Indiana has more pressing problems, such as having idiots on their education committee in the Senate.
Right. Well, we have that one guy that's tried to push creationism, and when he was running for office, you remember that from just this last year, and he was running for office saying that creationism is right, and he was saying this in some church function or whatever, and someone recorded it. I forget who it was, and he's in charge of the national education. I'm like, oh, I had such a facepalm again. It's like, it was just terrible. Just terrible. Did you have any other thoughts on that, Todd?
Nope, and nor is it deserving of any.
Okay, very good. Very good. All right. Tonight's discussion, and I've changed the timing again. I 10 minutes was a little bit too long. What we're going to do is we're going to do 7 minutes. It's a nice, comfortable. It's a little bit more
roundtable discussion.
Yeah, the roundtable discussion. Okay. It's our roundtable discussion is back since we didn't have so much other crap to Woo-hoo. Do. So tonight's topic of discussion is Pascal's wager. So if you have your Pascal and you have your wager, you know, you got time to lay out your bets. You know, is it a buck, $5, you know, your horse is coming in. No, I'm just kidding. That's not the wager we're talking about. Pascal's wager is it's better to believe in God than be wrong and not burn in hell for eternity, or be wrong and find out that, or die and find out that you're not wrong and then you risk nothing, whatever, something like that. And quite frankly, it's... To pretend that you have to believe in a God, you think that would make your God kind of stupid if you just say, okay, well, just try to say, well, just pretend you believe in God. You know, if he thinks that just by pretending that you believe in him is enough to let him your God wouldn't know that you didn't believe, that you're just faking it. Come on now, really? So, all right, we're gonna get started here, Todd. You know what? Let's do this reverse round robin, since Todd's been going last. Todd, what is your thoughts on the Pascal's wager?
Well,
starts now.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Your time. Go ahead.
Sure. The thing about Pascal's wager is I generally call it Pascal's sucker bet because mm-hmm. that's really kind of what it is. It ignores the thousands upon thousands of different gods and different religions and and hierarchies and pantheons that have, you know, that have nothing to do with Christianity. So, you know, even if you choose the right God, you have a different denomination saying Christianity. And each one saying that they're the one true way to worship this God. So your odds of choosing the right God and choosing the right way to worship him, provided this God exists, is probably right around the odds of hitting the jackpot in Powerball. I think I'll take my chances. Thank you very little.
All right, you have still have 5 minutes left.
I have what?
You have still 5 minutes left. Go ahead.
I have 5 minutes left.
Yes, you have still 5 minutes.
I can't go on for 5 more minutes. About this. That's what I had to
He's
say.
He's fumbling around for his philosophy books. Like, hold on.
Google.
Okay, you just want to stop there then, Todd?
Yes.
Okay, all right, we'll stop there then. Okay, very good. All right, you spared with 5 minutes and 23 seconds left. All right, Crystal, your time starts now.
Oh, I'm so going to even come in underneath Todd's time. I didn't even have a clue when you asked me about this, what that was, and I think I've talked to everybody else that's... Todd and Dawkins and a few of you guys just to get your takes on it, because I think I'm a little bit torn on it myself, because I'm one of these people that's kind of live and let live, and if that's the way you want to believe, that's totally fine with me, dude. I could care less. Myself, I think you're kind of either all or nothing, and that's kind of the way you should be when it comes to this. I think that's kind of riding the fence. And obviously it was written from a Christian perspective to begin with, you know, going back and reading some of the history, just because I was so unfamiliar with hearing that there was an actual theory about this. I think it needs to be kind of all or nothing, personally. I don't know. To me, that's what faith is. You either have it or you don't. And I don't think you can be halfway on it.
Interesting. Did you have any other thoughts?
Nah, that's all.
Okay. All right. That's very good. We got our clock stopped. Okay. Very good. All right. Joey, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been praying to Google. And Pascal's wager, it has 6 premises. The first one is God is or he is not. The second is a game is being played where heads or tails will turn up. The third is, according to reason, you can defend either of the positions.
Right.
4, you must wager. It's not optional.
Right.
5, let us weigh the gain and the loss in wagering that God is. Let us estimate these 2 chances. If you gain, you gain all. If you lose, you lose nothing.
Right.
Then wager without hesitation that he is. So then... I skipped over to Rational Wiki, which is a very good website.
Yes, I'm actually at the Rational Wiki right now.
Right, and it talks about how Pascal's wager makes quite a few assumptions. It makes the assumption to believe. It makes the correctness of worship, assuming that the Christian God is the only God, like Todd mentioned. The finite cost of worship. The infinite utility. There's a Judeo-Christian bias in Pascal's wager. And it also makes the assumption that the Christian afterlife is possible.
Yeah.
So, based on all this, I mean, I've always considered it kind of a real problem because, you know, mainly for the reason that Todd brought up, there's so many gods, there's so many religions, there's so many people who say, well, my religion is right and my God is right and I know it's right. And, you know, there's a picture that went around. It was called Pascal's Twister, and it had, like, the twister spinny thing. Where it's like, you know, left foot yellow, right foot blue. But each circle around, each color around the spinner had a different religious symbol in it. So it's like, you know, you could spend your entire life believing in your favorite God, only to get to the end and find out that the blue-headed elephant was the right one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So there's a real problem with Pascal's wager. And a lot of people have actually presented it to me as an argument. You know, like on Twitter, they'll say like, oh, well, you know, I believe and, you know, if I'm right, I win. And if you're wrong, then you lose. And it's like, well, no. How do you know you're right?
That's right.
How do you know you're believing the right one?
Right.
And that's the the ultimate problem with Pascal's Wager.
Yes. I'm going to read this right from the wiki, because I think it's brilliant. Did you have anything else you wanted to add there, Joe, or no?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. It says here, it states that you should live a... All right. The atheist wager says, this states that you should live a good life and be a nice person, but leave religion alone. If God is loving and kind, he will forgive you and not for not believing in him and reward you in the afterlife. If God punishes you despite having been a good person all your life, then God is unjust and you shouldn't worship him. And I think that's exceptional. Because this way you can live your life and be a good person. And overall, that's what we should be towards each other. You should be as good to each other. I can't put any better than that myself.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get moving on here. Oh, before we get into our next topic here, if you want to contact us and find out where we're at on Facebook and Twitter and all those other nice places, we're going to tell you how to contact us right now.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, as at PackardPokeFat on Twitter and by email at PackardPokeFat@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can find the show on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokeFat to join in the conversation. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokeFat.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you, Crystal. Man, you nail that every time. You get on the keyboard.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, you're just real good at that. Yeah, it's like you recorded it or something.
You sound so upbeat and spunky every time you do it.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I love listening to your voice.
Yes. She does the commercial very, very well. All right. Well, we don't have a place for Todd to go tonight because we're letting him stay home tonight. So, but we are going to tonight, seeing it's the new year. We're going to do is go around with everybody and do a New Year's resolution, as it were. Todd, what is your New Year's resolution for this year?
I actually have four of them.
Okay.
I'll just spell them out real quick. One is to play with my grandchildren more.
Okay.
Another one is running a 10K in June. Okay, three, because I forget what the fourth one was. But the third one is to start writing that novel I've been putting off for years and years and years.
Ah, there you go. Anything else you want to add on that?
Yes. Last year I was actually successful in quitting smoking. So
hey, good for you.
I'll actually have some success with my resolutions this year.
There you go. That's a big one. To quit smoking, that is a big resolution. I'm glad you stopped because, we need you around here, Todd. So
I couldn't live with myself for 3 months though. That was horrible, and I couldn't get away from myself either.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can hear. I understand. When I was married, my ex stopped smoking, and she was having her cycle at the same time. So I was in a little hole in the wall, hiding for most of those times. So double whammy for me. But she ended up going right back to it. So just be careful of that, because it's so easy to fall right back into it. It's just because there's so many people out there who are smokers. Crystal, what is your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is to love harder,
listen closer,
and laugh more often.
Well, you're definitely coming here on this show, so you're definitely going to be laughing a whole lot. I mean, just look at me. Just looking at me is enough to make anybody just fall down laughing as it is,
No, I didn't say that at all. No. Do we get a laugh out of being here every Friday? Absolutely.
Absolutely. If you're not coming to Packard Pokeset on Friday nights at 9 p.m. at blogtv.com/people/PackardPokeset, you are missing out on all the laughs, because we have a lot of fun laugh stuff just before the show and a lot of fun right after the show. So you got to come for that stuff, too.
No, we wouldn't just horn ourselves out right there, but yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Have to get that in there somewhere. Do you have anything else you wanted to add on there for New Year's resolution?
That's it.
Okay. Joe, what is your New Year's resolution for this year?
Well, speaking of whoring ourselves out.
Yes.
It occurred to me while I was enjoying a thick, juicy tenderloin steak down at Bubba Joe's Steakhouse on I-95, open 7 days a week, lunch and dinner, that maybe I should stop taking endorsement deals on the side behind Packard's back.
Mm.
But then I took a sip of Maxwell Hell's coffee, good to the last drop, I decided against it. Heck, I love money. So my resolution is to take even more endorsement deals behind Packard's back.
Great, thanks. You do know I do edit the show. I can bleep out every word. No, when I drink, beep. And I eat a beep.
You wouldn't do that to me.
So, Joe, are there any other companies that I could perhaps endorse?
We'll talk after the show, though.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, they just got some free plugs from us. did you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
No.
Okay. For myself, as many of you probably know and even noticed, I have been losing weight, and I have been trying to lose weight as much as I can. I am trying to drop at least another 25 and 35 pounds. So I've got another 35 pounds, or get to my goal weight eventually in this next year. So that's my goal weight. I want to get under 200. So, and I'm real close to it now. Just it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle, but it will be worth it, because then I will be able to put my wings back on and I'll be able to fly back around the room, because right now my wings are just not strong enough to carry me. They just, I just jump in the air and I'm right on the floor. No,
with Packard Sonic, less is more.
Yes, that's right. But in all honesty, no, I feel better now than I have in years, and it hasn't really taken that much time to lose the weight I've been trying to lose, and I want to continue that try to get to my goal weight before the end of the year. So anyway, we do have some Wizard of Todd news, though. Todd, did you want to give them the update of what we're going to be doing with you here coming up?
You mean next week, or
yeah, for next week?
Yeah. From Superman.
Oh yeah, we need to know how the hell did you escape? You know what? Let's do the sound. Where in
the world is the Wizard of Todd? You're off to
see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Todd. I love that song. Todd, how did you escape from Superman? By the way,
he flicked me. He didn't deck me.
Oh, so that's good.
And then he realized that it was just a costume, and you know, he took me to the North Pole, and I mean, we were already there, but we, you know, the Santa's house, and mm-hmm. then me and Santa and Superman, we started hitting the bars, and before we know it, we went, you know, we kind of went to the, you know, gentlemen's clubs, and you know,
all right, I can just see,
and we all got,
were they elf bars
up together.
You know, with Superman, going to a strip club is kind of redundant because he's got the X-ray vision.
So you're saying the whole world is a strip club for him?
That's right.
Pretty much. You know, you wonder why he's called the Man of Steel. Sadly, yeah, I can tell you why, and it's a little frightening. But
Something you want to tell us, Todd, that required maybe some lube?
No. We didn't do anything. He's straight, so am I.
Okay. All right, there we go. I thought maybe, you know, well, you
just don't swing that way. If you do, more power to you. I don't.
Okay. I thought maybe with all the drinking, you know, things got out of hand, you know.
No. I'm about 40 years old. I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin.
There you go.
I don't need to try to find myself that way. Nope.
There you go. All right. Well, we do have. We are going to be sending Todd out on assignment again. So we'll give you some news on that. You want to share it right now, Todd? Because it's kind of big news. I'm getting ready to blurt it out now. Do you want to let him know?
Go ahead, blurt it out.
Okay. We got Todd. With my connections, we got Todd an interview with Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Oh yeah, we got a thing with Billy Graham. So they're sending a plane ticket for Todd to go meet Billy Graham, and so we're gonna have that interview. Hopefully, we get that interview next week. Maybe we'll see what happens. So this is gonna
that son of a bitch is not gonna be able to dog any of my questions.
That's right.
I have them right where I want them.
That's right. You got him. We're gonna have him. Yes, right here. Yeah. So we'll tune in next week to find out what happens. Yeah. On this show, anything's possible.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
What could possibly go wrong on this show? So make sure you're tuning in next week to Packard Pokeset on blogtv.com/people/PackardPokeset. Anyway, you know what we forgot to do?
Shout out.
We forgot to do our shout out. We'll get, you know what? Let's do our shout out, and we forgot to do our funny tweets. Tonight's funny tweet comes from Dawkins Dog, and that one is, if what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, how do you bring home any casino winnings?
Dawkins always has the best.
Yes, he does. He comes up with some real good zingers there.
He does.
Yes. So I'd like to know that too. Maybe it's a money laundering scheme, you know.
This is really weird, you know. If you're like Richard Dawkins' dog, you just like have gnarly mental skills. It's really kind of cool.
Yes. yes it is. All right, let's get into our shout-out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out this evening comes from Joe. Joe is giving the shout-out for Mel in Canada. That's MELINCanada, CANADA. Joe, can you tell me about Mel in Canada?
Well, instead of dashes, use underscores.
Underscores. I'm sorry. Yes. Maybe that's an underscore. It's supposed to be in there.
At MEL_IN_Canada.
Okay. Maybe I got it in there wrong.
No, it's okay. But, Melissa is her full name. Her profile reads, I'm a PhD student still trying to build a time machine so I can go back and not do my PhD. And also to make awesome sports bets. Now she's, you know, I often shout out people who are in the atheist community on Twitter. She's definitely a prominent person on there. She's always tweeting. She's always retweeting. One of her tweets from tonight is something that I've mentioned to theaters many times, but it's a really good point. She says, God could have shown himself to the Chinese, but I guess he thought they were too intelligent and literate to believe his bullshit.
Oh, I like that.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, it's like God only reveals himself to barely literate people wandering around in the desert, but ignores the cities that were in existence in China. So
nice.
So yeah, everybody should give Mel in Canada a follow. She's really cool and she's awesome.
All right. Definitely definitely give Mel a shout. That's MEL_IN_CANADA. All right. Well, all right. Well, since we kind of did things out of order, well, hell, it's this show. What the hell do you expect?
You lost the pre-flight checklist.
I lost my pre-flight checklist, yeah. But, you know, we're just, hell, it's to do something a little different every once in a while. It doesn't throw us too far off the bat. But anyway, so I am great. I am thankful for everybody for coming tonight and joining us here on the show. Definitely, if you get a chance to come to the show, it's 9 o'clock Central Time at 9 o'clock at blogtv.com/people/PackardPokeset and come in, join the chat room. A lot of fun. May even get mentioned if you say something really funny or really intelligent. And the most intelligent people are on this show. Well, they're in the chat room. We're just average out here.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, we're above average. We're above average. I try not to blow our horns, but you know, hey, there's a brass band. It's hard not to when there's a brass band in your ear. Anyway, thanks again for coming. This has been Pecker Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.